In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer.
Amen.
We are blessed this morning here in Grosse Pointe for this great celebration of All Saints. We're blessed. We're remembering saints past and present, saints yet to come. And more especially, we're blessed because the sun is shining. You can't always have the sun shining on Sunday mornings, but you know, it makes a big difference when it is. Today, we are lucky the sun is shining, and the light of the sun shows off the brilliant colors of the beautiful stained glass windows that we have here at St. Michael's. They were crafted by the Ouellette Studios of Philadelphia, now known as the Ouellette Hauser Stained Glass Studios, one of the country's premier glass crafters. They did some of the windows in the National Cathedral, and I think the chapel at West Point might be their claim to fame. But they did many, many windows all over the United States. And ours are no less spectacular by no means. And against the white walls of the nave, they sparkle when the sun is out. Their colors are impressive. If you happen to be out and around during the week, stop by, because when the interior lights are out and the exterior light, the sun, is on, the colors that track across the carpeting and the pews, it's beautiful. Beautiful to see all that. These are figural, F-I-G-U-R-A-L, figural windows, meaning they are images of events and persons. They're not abstract, they're realistic in that sense. And most of them are thematically arranged. There is a booklet, by the way, that you've been seeing after church to get, but perhaps if it's been a boring sermon and your mind has been wandering, you might have been looking at the windows and noticed the themes of them. The center panel of each window usually states the theme. So, for example, this one right here at the very front corner is the sacraments window. So the center panel is the descent of the Holy Spirit on the apostles, and the other windows are all different sacraments of the church. And then if you go down, next to the end on my side is the Nativity window. So it's all the events in the center is the Nativity scene, all the events in the life of Mary and Joseph and the beginnings of Jesus' human existence. And then one of my favorites that breaks the pattern a little bit, the second window down on that side is the parables window, and the three center windows across are the feeding of the 5,000. We see all those little heads and figures. It spills over panel to panel to panel, tells that event, the story. And somewhere near the bottom is the little boy with the basket of fish, bread, and fish skeletons, because of what the fish were eating at the feeding of the 5,000. So they tell the story. Windows, stained glass windows, tell the story of our faith. They were the media teaching tools of their day, before literacy was widespread, before books and reading and writing were common. It were the windows in churches and cathedrals that helped tell the story of Christian faith. Faith made visible through the eyes. The gift of light and the miracle of color fused in sheets of glass. The color is really a miracle, in fact. That part is true. No one knows how or when it was discovered that by adding chemicals and elements to molten glass, you would achieve transformation from plain, clear glass to colored or stained glass. There are examples as old as the first century of the Common Era. By the Middle Ages, artisans created curtains of stained glass for the cathedrals of Europe, perfecting their techniques of illustration and depiction. The fundamental process of creating creating stained glass hasn't changed. The standard mixture of glass, silica and sand, clear plain glass, is intentionally altered, tainted, stained by chemical impurities. The amounts and kinds carefully controlled, but still they are impurities, many of them lethal if they are ingested. And when fused with the glass at high temperatures, the color becomes permanent. Absolutely permanent. It is melded into the glass. The color isn't painted on. It's not applied. It is part of the glass's existence. And the result is glass and color that never, ever fades. No matter how much your ultraviolet light pours through these windows, the colors will continue to be vibrant. The windows in Augsburg Cathedral are as brilliant today as when they were made in the 11th century. The windows of St. Michael's will be as vibrant during their next 75 years of service as they have been in the past. I was preparing an All Saints sermon for All Saints Day with this idea of stained glass and saints in mind, and I usually handwrite my sermons out kind of longhand in a completely illegible scrawl, indecipherable, which means they'll never be plagiarized because you can't possibly read what I wrote in the first place. Not that they would be ever plagiarized. But this occasion I decided, you know what, I'm going to get efficient. I'm going to type or keyboard them, you know, as I'm going along. All right, it should work. So I was sailing along and I was a page or so in, I decided to check my work. And much to my surprise, most of the time, I spell saints S-A-I-N-T-S. But every once in a while, it came out S-T-A-I-N-S. When spell check doesn't catch something, there might be a sermon in that. Saints and stains, all stains. Stained glass windows. How God works through imperfection and flaw and mistake and impurity to raise up people who are not perfect, but completely called to follow God and to be the best they can. How God creates the miracle of light and color in a way that allows impurities to convert ordinary clear glass into brilliant, brilliant jewels of light. If our concept of saints is perfect Christians who always got it right, who never doubted, never wavered, and never sinned, no flaws, no stains, then who could possibly qualify? We might as well call it a day, turn off the lights, and go home. Maybe saints, in a way, are, in fact, much like us. We can be more like them than we think. We can let our mistakes and errors and regrets bind us into inaction, deaden us, like Lazarus. Or we can loosen those bonds, unbind them that bind us, and, like Lazarus, move into new relationships with each other, with ourselves, and with God. Imperfections notwithstanding. Maybe saints are much like our stained glass windows, created in the image of God, grace and promise implanted in their hearts, fallen, fallible, frail humans. The saints of our stained glass windows cry out to us for the very lives that they live. But those are the very saints who take grace and their imperfections and meld them into a new creation through whom light shines and in whom others see a glimpse of the face of God. Emily Dickinson wrote these four lines in her poem called All Saints. Brave names of men and celestial women who passed out of human record, now dwell in endless renown. brave names of men and celestial women who passed out of human record now dwell in endless renown. Today we remember all those saints of our lives who have passed into endless renown. May we also join them in that endless light that shines in and around us. May our lives be like the stained glass windows of St. Michael's Church. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer.